New Hampshire has become the first state to launch a campaign solely aimed at breaking down the stigma around mental illness and improving treatment and prevention. But left unaddressed has been a population of mentally ill people at the state prison who are incredibly violent and have no place else to go. And as NHPR's Paige Sutherland reports, that's been the case for three decades, despite several legislative efforts to change it, including a failed attempt this year.
When you get Tom O'Brien from Hollis talking about his childhood friend, Eric Largy, he brings up how he was the best man at his wedding and how he's known him since the second grade.
He's never had an incident before. He was never a harmful guy. He never did anything, you know, and he was very set in his ways, like in his mindset, his thinking. But yeah, Eric was always a little, but he was a hard worker. He was this, he was that.
But in 2009, a judge deemed his friend incompetent to stand trial for allegedly kidnapping and savagely beating his father, a former Nashua police chief. Eric Largy is now 49 years old and has been diagnosed with schizophrenia and other mental illnesses. For the past 5 years, he's been at the state's secure psychiatric facility at the state prison, but he's refused treatment. O'Brien thinks he should be in a hospital, not locked up.
It's tough to separate. Somebody does a heinous act and they're violent or they're this or they're that. You don't want them out. I don't want them out. You don't want them out. But having the right facility to try to rehabilitate some of those individuals, I think it's important, rather than just housing them.
The state secure psychiatric unit, or SPU, has 60 beds, and the men and women here are typically dangerous, with stories like Largy's. Some are civilly committed, some are deemed incompetent to stand trial, some are found not guilty by reason of insanity, and others are violent inmates, and they're all housed on the same floor. On average, 8 people transfer from the New Hampshire State Hospital each year. Some stay a few months, some as long as 6 years. Every year, the facility sees multiple suicide attempts and attacks on staff members. Stories range from one patient forging a blade onto a toothbrush to another slashing an officer's face with a piece of metal from a light fixture. Beatrice Coulter has worked in mental health for more than 3 decades. She began working at the SPU last year as a nurse, but because of what she saw, she says she lasted only 4 days.
Can have individuals with psychiatric illness that can be violent and labile and aggressive, but we always have to remember the underlying presenting problem is illness, and it needs to be treated as such. So when we go to the point where security begins to trump a therapeutic approach, it's not an accepted standard that I'm familiar with, not clinically, no.
At the SPU, prison guards, not medical professionals, oversee the unit. The patients are more or less locked in their rooms, are given limited access to hallways. They do have access to common rooms, set up with books and TVs, as well as an exercise room, but they must have a guard escort. And for group therapy sessions for some of the unit's most dangerous patients, there are 4x10 cage-like booths set up next to one another. Carlene Ferrier with the Department of Corrections oversees the nursing staff, including the 9 nurses who work at the SPU. She says patients are getting the care they need, even if it's in the prison.
A building doesn't make a program. I think it's the staff that are doing the day-to-day care. And I think we have a great team that's well-trained and committed and feels like they're doing a good job.
Besides nurses in the unit, there are 3 mental health counselors, a therapist, 2 social workers, 2 psychiatric doctors, and 2 nurse practitioners. Governor Maggie Hassan says she would welcome a new facility off prison grounds, but says the people who work at the SPU are doing the best they can.
I know that the staff at the SPU work extraordinarily hard to make sure that whoever they are treating is getting the appropriate treatment, and that for those people who are there because of civil commitment, that they are transitioned back out of the SPU as promptly as possible.
But New Hampshire is one of only a few states that places violent, mentally ill people in a prison.
I don't think they're saying, oh gosh, this is, we're going to do this to get better treatment for the patients. I don't think that was first and foremost a motivating factor, no.
John Wallace was the legislative director at the state's Division of Mental Health when this policy transfer was drafted back in 1986. He says many factors led to it, including the safety of the staff and neighborhoods around the state hospital, the fact that the state at the time was building a new prison, but mostly he believes it came down to making sure the state hospital received accreditation. Wallace says at the time, the hospital's administrators thought housing such a dangerous population might interfere with the hospital becoming federally licensed and getting Medicaid money. The SPU has never gone after such certification, meaning it is not an accredited hospital and doesn't have any external oversight. The Department of Corrections provides the only oversight. And in the last 30 years, there have been zero outside performance audits specifically directed at the unit. And because the SPU is located on prison grounds, it cannot receive federal Medicaid dollars, which would mean having to meet another layer of federal standards and qualifications. The unit has been granted accreditation with the American Corrections Association, but that lapsed in 2011. Paula Mattis with the Department of Corrections oversees the SPU and says not being accredited doesn't mean the unit's treatment is not up to par.
We do look at the standards that are out there. No, we may not have the certificate or plaque on the wall to show that, but we hire skilled, qualified people who are up to date in their fields, who bring forward ideas and information.
The state's overall mental health care for inmates did get looked at in 2011 and 2014, but the SPU was not part of that inspection. The forensic psychiatrist hired to do those reports was Dr. Jeff Metzner. He's examined treatment of mental health in jails and prisons in nearly 40 states.
You'll get adequate treatment in jails and prisons, but jails and prisons are no place to be providing treatment because it's a punitive environment. It's not a therapeutic environment. It's certainly not a hospital environment.
Bottom line, Metzner says when it comes to deciding whether a facility offers the best care for its patients, there's only one question that needs to be answered.
Would you, whether it's New Hampshire or someplace else, would you want your a family member who needed psychiatric hospitalization to go there? And if the answer is no, it's a problem.
Most people you talk with about the SPU agree. This setup isn't ideal. Two separate legislative study commissions concluded people who've never been convicted of a crime should be treated in a hospital, not the prison. And John Wallace, who was with the state's mental health division, agrees.
Back then, yeah, it probably seemed in balance to be a reasonable thing to do because the prison that was being built at the time had accommodation for it, but it got revisited, and there were a couple of studies that said, yes, the state, you ought to build a secure place and put it back under the hospital. But those recommendations in legislative study committees never went anywhere.
Why do you think that?
Money.
The latest report in 2010 recommended the state build a new high-security psychiatric facility on the grounds of the New Hampshire Hospital, but that called for more than $13 million. Representative Rennie Cushing chaired the 2010 commission and introduced a bill this session to ban the transfer policy. It's been referred to interim study, more or less killing it.
Is in a way competition with the fact that we don't have enough beds right now for other people who are not as severe that are seeking mental health treatment. We have a drug and alcohol addiction crisis. We don't have enough beds to treat them. You know, and unfortunately, in New Hampshire, the legislature seems to have a tendency to, you know, take the position out of sight, out of mind.
And it's also more than five times cheaper to house a patient at the SPU than at the New Hampshire hospital. $1,350 a day at the state hospital. And it's also more than five times cheaper to house a patient at the SPU than at the New Hampshire hospital. $1,350 a day at the state hospital compared to $270 a day at the SPU. Tom O'Brien, whose friend Eric Largie is at the SPU, says he gets it's about the money, but questions how much longer the practice can go on.
It's been passed off saying, well, they're safe here because they're behind bars and the community's safer. So, yeah, let's take care of these bills and let's do this. And let's. So that's been going on for a while. How long do you keep putting something on the back burner like that?
Advocates and legal experts involved in this issue think at this point, a lawsuit is the only thing that will spark any change. For NHPR News, I'm Paige Sutherland.